Now, Darden, have you ever used your own experiences as the basis? I'm not saying pattern them after you, but just things you've experienced yourself as the pattern or the basis for a character.
Doug, I think any author would answer that yes. You basically put a little bit of yourself in each character, whether it's male or female. And I guess the most, if you're lucky enough to have a varied, interesting life and a lot of interesting people around you, it makes you a better writer and easier, makes it a little bit easier for you. You know, I haven't, my books are not a life story. They're not, you know, intent to be that at all. And I fortunately have not had a lot of the I have not had the misfortune a lot of my characters have had. Again, I'm blessed about that. But I think in my second novel, Points of Origin, there were probably more life instances that I was experiencing used in that book than anything. And that may have made it a little bit easier to write. But, I would like to think I'm the young, attractive male OBGYN. You know, that's in my books. One of my partners thinks he is, which is fine. We'll let him do that. I've never been to war. Do not have any military training, so I really can't identify with my fourth book, Wiggle Room. But other than, you know, what I was able to do in research. But I think any author, and I'm the same, explores all the good and bad qualities that you have within you, and, you know, you exploit those in your characters, and sometimes you can kind of live vicariously through some of the things they do.
Now, I'm looking for a very vicarious answer here. Is there any one of your characters in particular who is the closest to being Darden North?
Well, probably Knox Chambly. He's a doctor, he's been in the first three books. He would be the closest.
Now, tell us about him. He's kind of close to the tie that almost makes those first three a series. I know you said they're not, but he appears in each of those books, and then you chose to leave him out of Wiggle Room.
Well, yes, and he's just starting his practice as an obstetrician gynecologist, and it was easy to write that. As far as some of the that book probably has more medical scenes, sort of like ER or Grey's Anatomy, as far as different interactions in the hospital that were important for the storyline. Including probably more of that in the first book than any of them. And that's, your first novel is a novel that you've been thinking about for years and years and years. You know, many people say everybody has at least one book in them. So that was, easy for me to put myself in the situation that Knox Chambly would be in dealing with different situations and people. And as far as some of the types of medical people, both male and female, that he would have come across. It was easy for me to come up with that pretty easily. So I guess maybe that's that made that book almost a catharsis of my medical training and my starting a practice and that kind of thing. Again, fortunately, we weren't finding a nurse dead in a bathtub at our hospital and some things like that. So we didn't have any vicious, doctor, after me and that kind of things. But you have to put that's what makes it fiction.
Every now and then a writer has to kill off a character. Do you find that to be just a regular part of the story, the process, or do you find it difficult?
Well, like I said, if it's going to be a murder mystery, someone has to die. It may be a very minor, character that, really has not played anything other in the story other than just to be the body, the focus of the crime. But you have to also want the reader to have a little empathy, sadness perhaps, for that character. So And I've killed off some that I wished I hadn't. In my last book, this dastardly person does die, and one of my editors said, you know, I'm sorry that person had to die. I kind of liked that person. I'm not going to give anything about the story away. But, you know, even though the character was dastardly, really kind of hated to see him go, you know, kind of liked him there for a while. But maybe that's a good author's tool, a good writing tool, if you can make someone that dies in a book likable, you know, if they needed to die. You know, you're rooting against them, but you still kind of like them as a character.
I think that was a tremendous compliment, actually, for somebody.
Well, I thought so, too, and I kind of thought through it, and I said, no, I'm so, there's no way I can change his claim. He's got to go.
Okay.
He's got to go.
Let's shift gears just a little bit now. Locales, settings, and other details that keep a reader interested in the book itself. What do you do for your research? I know you write a lot about where you live and where you grew up and all that, but still there's a lot of research has to be done. What do you do to research locales and settings and just places in general?
Well, I've mentioned, you know, traveling to Europe and some things like that. You know, you can get on the internet now and read about any place just, you know, in a heartbeat and just a few seconds and get the research you need as far as describing areas. It'd be wonderful to travel the world over in doing the research, but I don't have time to do that. Not that I wouldn't like to, just don't have time to do that. I get all four books are set in Mississippi. The first two are really fictitious towns, but I didn't really know how true I should be. I was sort of a little apprehensive about saying, yes, this is definitely a certain town. I had all these bad things happening, these bad people doing things. But I sort of lost that fear, and when Fresh Frozen came out, placed that in Jackson, where I live, and in Canton, a nearby town. Then, of course, Wiggle Room is set in Jackson, too. So as far as the research on the locale, there wasn't much on that. The what was interesting about Wiggle Room is that I needed to know what the Balad Hospital was like in Iraq. I talked to a trauma surgeon who had been over there and had done a three-month or four-month deployment. He was able to show me some unclassified pictures, documents of what the facility looked like, which was Saddam Hussein's training camp for his guard that he had. They when the United States took it over, they turned this into a hospital. So basically, it was just a big facility with, you know, blue drapes in between, almost like MASH. He was able to show me those pictures. So that was a challenge for me to describe that location, you know, in the book, you know, all the way to seeing Saddam Hussein's mural that's still on the wall, and to, you know, make that, you know, as real as possible. I didn't get to go over there. But I would like to think when someone reads it that, you know, it does give them a good, true picture of what it would, you know, look like and feel like to be over there.
But the areas that you write about in Mississippi, do you have to go back and look into that some more, or are you just familiar enough with it?
Well, I mean, I've, you know, belonged to a hunting camp, so I was able to describe a hunting camp, you know, really easily. And in House Call, you know, hunting camp between Jackson and Batesville. I mentioned Oxford, Mississippi. I went to Ole Miss, so I know that very, very well. The I grew up in Mississippi Delta, so any references to areas down that around the Delta are easy for me. I've been around the state enough, I think, to know, be able to put that flavor in there for any place.
Flavor is a good word. Does the Southern culture that you grew up around, that flavor, and the mannerisms of Southern people, do those things show up in your writing?
They do, and I think sometimes that's a challenge for a person writing from the South, because the prose many times, the prose, I will write it, and I go back and say, now I know that's exactly the way, if I were telling you a story, That's how I would tell it. However, it really doesn't seem to make sense. Some of the words are backwards and things like that. And if you're working with an editor from Martha's Vineyard, which I was, that had to kind of explain some of that. That's the way we would talk here. But, I'm trying to write contemporary Mississippi, so I want it to be, and we do have some intellectuals down here, and we have some educated, wonderful people, so I want it to be Southern, but I want it to be more of a contemporary Southern.
Okay. How about political situations? Do you try to address anything political in your stories?
Doug, I really don't, and I just sort of have a pet peeve about people in entertainment, taking that as a challenge. Books, when you read, that's entertainment. It's a way to get away from whatever is bothering you, hopefully, and what you have going on around you. If you want to read about politics, pick up a book about politics. I think I don't do that on purpose because that's not what I want to see. I can tell if I'm reading some of my contemporaries' work, I can see exactly, what they're inferring or what political statement they're trying to make. If there's a political situation important to the story, that's one thing. But if it's really not, I think you should leave that out. In fact, I did make a little dig against, I'll have to say it, against Obamacare in one of the early drafts of Wiggle Room. And the editor who was working with me is actually, I used two different editors. She was the plot editor. She was in California, and she said, this little statement here is not necessary. You're making a political statement. It does not need to be in there. It slows your story down. And it was just one sentence. And I thought, well, you're right, and I took it out. And that's fine. The story is, better for it. So I really try to stay away from that. You might, if you know me personally, you probably may see a few things in between the lines. My son, we talked about my son earlier, he can see that when he reads my books. But I want my books to be an escape tool for some people, escapism.
Well, sure. And that's a great answer. It depends totally on whether it's a part of the story or not. And if it's just gratuitous, then why put anything of that nature in there at all? So. Want to get into the books themselves for a little bit here. Your first novel is titled House Call, and I understand that with everything you had going on, you decided you wanted to write, but that one took you quite a while to get it written. Tell us the backstory on that.
I didn't take typing in high school. I think part of it was I was afraid I might get a B in typing, and I didn't want any Bs, and we also only had five periods at Cleveland High School, so you didn't have time to take a lot of electives. So basically, it was a lot of hunting and pecking. As I started to write, computers started to get more popular. Everybody had a desktop computer in the mid-90s, early 90s, and I got one, learned to type that way. I was printing, and every page that I wrote, I printed it. I didn't trust the computer. I thought it would blow up or something would happen. We didn't have flash drives back then. Finally, my eighth-grade daughter, or sixth-grade daughter, maybe, taught me how to really, truly copy and paste on the computer, so that helped. So a lot of the reason I think it took me a while was, learning how to easily type and put it on paper. I'm just not patient enough to write longhand, and, we doctors are writing so fast. We don't write much anymore now. It's all electronic medical records, but I didn't have the patience to write longhand, so I wanted to type. And that took a while, and then basically when I got to the point I knew how the story was going to end, I was able to finish a lot quicker. And then it took a while to go, through the publishing process. So, and by the time House Call was really out and people were telling me they liked it, I'd written Points of Origin. So that was easy. That second book was already written. Now, the third book took 5 years, but... I'm getting a little faster, as you can see. 10 years, 5 years, going a little bit faster.
You're picking it up. Well, right. Give us a little short, and I mean a short overview of the plot to House Call, can you?
I'm so glad you asked. house call basically starts as a police investigation into a murder of a young nurse. She's actually found floating in her bathtub. So she actually received the house call. So it's not a house call that you want to receive. And it basically sets off this investigation as to, first of all, why would this nurse be murdered in the first place? Because she's sort of, there's a little, you know, backstory that's revealed. She's really a nice, you know, hardworking young lady. And there's the other story I mentioned about reverse sexual discrimination, a lot of cutthroat medical politics that I do talk about, which, you know, between pharmaceutical companies and the interactions between the doctors and the clinic, how they might be going after each other, which I think a lot of, you know, the average patient may not see. And then, of course, there's a psychopath in the book that, is revealed. So there's a lot going on in there, but it's, you know, basically a mystery between why was this nurse murdered, and there's also a doctor who dies. Haven't given anything away. And I wasn't showing favoritism. I let a nurse die and a doctor die.
There you go.
And, you know, is there a connection between the two deaths? And, you know, is there, did those crimes cross somewhere? And so to me, it's really truly a murder mystery, but there is some thriller aspects as well. I think all my books have a little bit of murder mystery and thriller mixed in.
Now, originally, House Call was just available in hardcover, but now recently you brought it out in paperback, which is cheaper than the traditional hardcover book, and also in ebook. And also, I'm bringing this back because you were a finalist for an Indie Book Award with House Call. I don't guess you won it, but you were in the finals. Tell us about that real quick.
Well, I think it's important to, you know, that's part of book promotion is for your books to get entered in contest and, you know, for it to be recognized as, you know, worthy enough on a national contest, you know, that's good. It makes you feel good. And it lets you know that you're doing something, you know, right. It gives them an objective assessment of your work. And I think that's important for anybody, any artist, you know, is to have have a little kudo here and there. And of course, you know, by the fact it was a finalist, I knew maybe it could have been better to win first place. So, you know, it gives you a little something to work toward. And I think, you know, there are lots of different, you know, book award venues, and I think it's important to have something like that.
Well, the brass ring comes around in 2007 with your second book, Points of Origin. You actually were awarded the IPPI in Southern Fiction. Now, for somebody who has accumulated all the recognition that you have through education, career, and everything else, how did that register? Actually winning an honor for writing a novel?
Well, the IPPI is an Independent Publishers Book Awards, and that's if you mention book awards, most, you know, agents and editors are familiar with the IPPI. So to get that Southern Fiction was, I was very proud of that. And there was a little ceremony in New York you get to go to, and proud of all the awards and all I'm proud of all four books, but that was very nice to get that, and I appreciated that.
Absolutely should,
you know,
be.
The book is, you know, it's in a southern town, and it's a very good example of a true southern novel, I believe.
Okay. Now, you want to give us just a real 2-minute teaser about it? I understand it deals with a plastic surgeon and, of course, a suspicious death.
Right. It's set in a contemporary southern town called Larkspur, and I like to work in the yard and happen to be planting some Larkspur flowers, and I thought that would be a good name for a town. And so in Larkspur, there's a death of a young lady whose her death basically destroys the life of a plastic surgeon, and his surgical dynasty that he's built up is just melted. Of course, it destroyed the lives of her family as well. So you have a lot of families coming after this plastic surgeon. There's a very, very colorful plaintiff's attorney in town who's after the plastic surgeon, and people are after him too. And then while everybody's sort of fighting against each other, is an arsonist sort of circling the picture who has planned some ultimate revenge. And anyway, that's, yeah. It's just a good story. A good story. Yeah. A lot of very surprise ending. All my books have surprise endings.
Now, besides being an award winner, you've got Points of Origin available also in audiobook. Tell us what that process is like for an author.
That's been very interesting. I worked with a narrator who's actually from New York, and he did his Southern accent adaptations. And I had the opportunity to be able to listen to it before it was actually put out in audio through audible.com, and we had to correct some of his pronunciations of some of the southern towns. There are very few medical terms in there we had to fix, too. He had real trouble with the word kudzu. I'm not sure we actually got that exactly right, but that was really very interesting to do that. And I'm hoping to get House Call. Draft of that's been recorded, but we're still working through that, and hoping to have Fresh Frozen come out too in audio. There's a growing demand for audiobooks. A lot of people.
Oh yes,
and it's just easy to download them now to your iPhone or to your computer, and it's not a you don't have to carry discs around, you know. So it's a big interest out there for audiobooks.
Now your third book, Fresh Frozen. We got to talk about it a little bit. That one goes into the world of frozen embryos.
It is, and it's not science fiction at all. And in Fresh Frozen, someone wants to steal a movie star's frozen embryos, and she's come to Mississippi where there's an infertility clinic that's been set up in Canton, Mississippi. She thinks no one will be able to find her here because we're Mississippi. You know, the paparazzi won't find her here. But actually, someone knows she's here, and they're trying to steal her embryos. There's a internet voyeur in the clinic watching everything, and I think you might imagine that one of the doctors isn't one of the doctors is sort of unscrupulous about it as well. And I'm excited about Fresh Frozen, particularly because a screenplay's been written for it. And there's a very strong possibility it's going to be produced into a movie filmed in Mississippi.
Outstanding. Now, are we talking about a big screen or TV production? Or?
Well, I'm hoping it will be a big screen.
Wonderful.
I think the plan is for a motion picture. I'd like to use the word major motion picture. I guess that depends. But, no, I think the plan is for it to be actually shown in theaters.
Well, now, that's heady in its own right. I mean, that's cool. That's really nice. Congratulations, and I hope that continues to go well for you. The latest book, Wiggle Room, now that's still a murder mystery, but it stands apart other than the absence of Knox Shambly. Tell us how it's different from the other books.
It is probably more of a true thriller than maybe, for instance, Points of Origin is, but it's an entirely different storyline, and I really did have to kind of step out of my comfort zone in writing about, you know, military characters not, you know, knowing anything really about military and having to do research. And it's my wife said, do not write a war story, and it's not a war story. It does start in Iraq, but it comes back to Mississippi pretty quickly. And it's really, to me, Doug, a storyline that's, you know, unique in that the reader will pick up pretty quickly that the main surgeon, Brad Cummins, has basically had to treat and save an Iraqi student who's injured in a roadside bomb blast that kills several GIs, but the Iraqi student lives. Well, the Iraqi student did not want to live, and he basically follows the surgeon back home to Mississippi and doesn't have good plans for him at all.
Mm.
So basically, I have a story where a doctor saved someone's life, but the person didn't want to be saved, and now they want the doctor dead. And I think that's kind of an interesting twist on the Hippocratic Oath.
Absolutely, absolutely. What is next for Darden North?
I have a book. I'm about halfway through it. It's a follow-up story to Wiggle Room. It's not a sequel. But it basically takes Diana Bratton, who's a female surgeon that becomes very important in Wiggle Room, makes her the central character in the next novel. It's set in Mississippi in Jackson. Again, a different storyline, but does sort of bring some of the elements that were introduced, or some of the minor characters that they were introduced in Wiggle Room, brings them into the new story. The I just about think I know how it's going, where it's going, how it's going to end. But it's going to be, I hope, a unique story as well. I'm not going to give the title away yet, but I think I've gone through several titles, but I think I've settled on one.
Well, we need to tell everybody out there, the readers, House Call, Points of Origin, Fresh Frozen, and Wiggle Room. Where can the folks find these to get more information and obviously to buy them?
Well, I invite everybody to go to my website, which is dardennorth.com. We've got a page that where you can get all the venues to purchase it. All the books are available on Kindle. They're all available in print. You mentioned House Call is in paperback, and then Wiggle Room is actually in soft cover print. Points of Origin is on audio. Basically, through Amazon, we have a lot of great bookstores here in Mississippi. Lemuria is one, Square Books in Oxford. I've got listings for those books on my website if you go.